the politics were removed from the high school level in the state of Michigan when we got news Thursday, which was, it was a big yell of yes across Michigan when Mark Yule and his team at the Michigan High School Athletic Association announced that all the fall sports were back, including football. I mean, I get goosebumps. I couldn't believe it. Football back in Michigan. High school football. High school football back with all the safety precautions in place. And there is wording in executive orders at a lot of youth teams, a lot of high school teams, and we'll get to Mark in a moment, when it comes to wearing the mask while playing. I haven't seen any sport of an athlete at any level. I haven't seen a photo. Somebody says some states like Massachusetts, but nobody will give me a photo. I haven't seen a photo of anybody playing sports with a mask on. So I know at last report, Mark and his team were looking for the interpretation. That's what it comes down to. When you look at executive order and you read it one way, that face coverings, except for swimming, which that's kind of an obvious one. But what about when it rains? And the boys are playing a soccer match, and it's Mount Pleasant versus Midland Dow, and it's raining. What are you going to do? The interpretation is the biggest thing. You know, my kids play soccer. They were training all summer with no COVID-19 outbreaks, and because of the executive order beginning tonight, their practices, they'll have to wear a mask. And the club said if your kid doesn't want to wear a mask, then they have to remain in the vehicle. If they stop wearing the mask, they have to go back out to your vehicle. It seems like anarchy over a mask. And yes, I am so grateful to Mark Yule and his team and all the coaches and all the superintendents and all the support to bring this back, which is one of the great things I've ever seen in sports. High school football was dead in the water. But this mask thing is almost an extension of the anarchy you had waiting for answers. Dr. K. Ed Cornelia, sports medicine and family doctor for Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. Again, during this pandemic, I've always turned to him because I'm not a medical expert. And he told me earlier today via text, and I wanted to share it with you. This is what Dr. K had to say. He is a medical professional. His statement, and he'll join us later in the broadcast. While I understand the need to protect everyone, we have seen little to no evidence of it in sport transmission. Some sports may lend themselves to masks, golf, although with golf very easily to physically distance. But for others, such as running or soccer, the potential limitation in breathing and loss of a key mechanism for heat reduction, breathing out warm air, makes me very concerned. That is a doctor. That is my doctor. That is Dr. Ed Cornelia, Dr. K. So interpretation of the order, face coverings. Football, I would think a mask, or not a mask, but a shield inside the face mask would cover as a face covering for breathing, spit, I would think. So let's go get an update on Michigan high school sports. Man, what an unbelievable start to our holiday weekend with the triumphant return of all fall sports, including high school football. Mark Yule is the executive director of the MHSAA. He joins us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. Mark, what a weekend, huh?
Good afternoon, Bill. It was certainly interesting, yes.
So let's roll it back to how high school football made it back. What's the thumbnail version of what it took, the phone call, the meeting, the conversation where the go-ahead was given?
So as we shared back on August the 14th, that is when our council made the decision to postpone football at the time to the spring, and that was done because we were told that football could not go forward under Executive Order 160. That was the new order that was became effective law on the last day of July, and so for us to be able to go in football from helmets only to padded practice that following Monday, for us to have gotten our young women into our gyms and our pools to compete in volleyball and swim in six of the eight regions of our state, and also in those same six regions for us to move from soccer practice to soccer games. Executive Order 160 is where all that started. I don't think when that first got announced that people really didn't understand that that was the reason that essentially current law would not have allowed that to go forward. Well, the big change, so we've been literally ongoing conversations for the 20 days since then, which all culminated back to last Thursday, was the issuing of the new executive order, Executive Order 176, which essentially removed any restrictions on sports, which would allow football to go forward. As part of that order, it was going to reopen the gyms in the indoor pools. For the terminology from that order is for organized sports activity, of which high school and middle school volleyball and high school girls swimming falls into that. And so that was the game changer. EO 176 replaced 160, which really, Bill, for the first time, really put the decision whether or not football is going to move forward or not, really in the MHSAA's hands, and not one to where we were kind of prodded to you know, kind of take the lead on the decision, which really was a no decision based on the current law at the time. So I guess that's the thumbnail on what last Thursday meant, what it changed, and right now we're continuing to work on some of the contradictions in 176 now with a few other orders.
The mask issue seems to be as heated as high school football not being played or started originally. The debate back and forth, the medical professionals, everything I'm reading says a mask is not a healthy choice. Have you had conversations with the governor's office in regards of the mask having to be worn while participating in a sport? That's high school and youth sports in the state of Michigan per that latest order.
Yep. So here's the deal for your listeners, and I'm going to be as straightforward as I can. So last Thursday, Executive Order 176 talks about athletes participating in a sport. They only have to keep social distancing to the extent compatible with the sport. And then here was the key at the end of that line, and it says, and wear a facial covering except when swimming. So that's pretty straightforward. Under EO 176, it appears that athletes, while participating in an organized sport, you've got to wear a facial covering except when swimming. Well, here's the conflict that currently exists. You go back to Executive Order 153, and by the way, all these were issued in order. So you go back to Executive Order 1 all the way up to the 170s that were issued last week. Well, you've got Executive Order 153. And those listeners that are, you know, in front of a tablet or their computer, you can go to the order and find the same information. By the way, 176 did not supersede 153. So from a legal standpoint, EO 153 and 176 are both effective state law. And here's, Bill, what 153 states. It says, although a face covering is strongly encouraged, even for individuals not required to wear one, the requirement to wear a face covering does not apply to individuals who, and then there's a colon, and in letter D, it said those who are exempt from wearing a face covering include D, those individuals who are exercising when wearing a face covering would interfere with the activity. So on one hand, you've got 176 that's really pretty clear that when participating in an organized sport, you got to wear a facial covering except when swimming. Equally as clear as 153 is it states that individuals are not required to wear a face covering, and it doesn't apply to those individuals who are exercising when wearing a face covering would interfere with the activity. And obviously, you know, the concerns that Dr. K has already noted, as well as many others, especially in a cardiovascular dependent sport like cross country being the very best example. So that's part of our frustration. Again, there's no criticism here. You know, in trying to address a pandemic, what the governor's office has had to do is create these executive orders to, again, try and do everything we can to keep everybody as healthy and safe. But it's hard for us, Bill, to communicate clearly with our member schools based on law when we've got two laws right now that they don't think could contradict each other more clearly. So they are aware of the issue. We're hoping here by the end of today we will get some clarification, and as soon as we have that answer, we're going to share that with everybody involved. But that's the deal. It's the conflict in 176 and 153, and again, the guidance could not be more contradictory.
I think what has happened, for instance, with my son who plays youth soccer, I have a daughter who plays volleyball, I have a son who plays eighth grade football, and he's ecstatic to see that their season has returned. And I can't tell you the sheer excitement from a mild-mannered kid on what that has done to lift his spirits since last Thursday. And really, they announced the middle school return, and it was over the weekend. And their coach used upwards of 89 exclamation points that the season is on. But that's that excitement. And I believe when I read that order, that somebody, whether they typed it up, whether it was dictated, however, in that one section about the mask, that there's something missing, that there is no medical justification for that mask. You've had kids training with social distancing and not playing their games. I'll go to my son, my daughter, and even the other son with football, that they followed that, and there hasn't been major outbreaks. That all the schools, all the youth leagues have followed this protocol of, yes, when you're on the field and you're training, mask goes back in your soccer bag, and then you go back on the field. And I think it's pretty simple to say, well, okay, and the people are like, well, they're going to be with other kids. Well, they've been with other kids. They haven't been training with family members. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it's pretty simple, I think, to just say, wear your mask when you're traveling to your games, when you're on the sidelines, when you're in the team huddle before the game, maybe not even do team huddles. I mean, there's ways for me to say, all right, you can eliminate a lot of this. Because football in a mask with a mouth guard and a helmet, how do you – my son has a practice tonight with a helmet with the – breathable mask I discovered online for like $39 each for my kids, and you're gonna and his mouth guard. Okay, at what point does any air come into the body? I'm serious. I'm not joking about any health condition, but in the game of football, I would think just a visor inside the helmet that a lot of the makers have put together, that would qualify as a face covering. But again, I'm not a lawyer. And I read an executive order like you, and I read multiple ones, and there's a lot of ambiguous language. So what does a parent do? What's your advice right now for a parent listening with kids playing like me?
It would be to wait until the end of the day, and hopefully we'll get an answer. I mean, this is the classic example of you go to your dad, and he says, except when you're swimming, you have to wear a mask. And then you go to mom and say, hey, what should I do? And she says, well, as long as you're exercising, you don't have to wear a mask because of the activity. I mean, that is the predicament that all of us are in. And again, it's the governor's office is issuing the EOs, and we're going to be respectful of that, and, yep. And we're going to ask for that clarification from them and continue to be good partners here as we keep moving ahead. Bill, to me, the gist, I think certainly wearing a mask in cross country certainly have some concerns. I do think that wearing a mask in some other scenarios and settings isn't the health risk that everybody thinks it could be, just in terms of oxygen and carbon dioxide and all those things. My bigger issue is if we do require masks of kids who are actively participating, and now I break that tackle and that mask now gets moved to where now instead of over my mouth and nose, well, now it's over my eyes. And now I can't see that kid coming in, hitting me below the waist, and well, now I just broke my leg or I tore an ACL. Or in volleyball, I dive or I move and that mask for just an instant get displaced. Now, again, it's up over one of my eyes or both of my eyes, and the next thing is I get a ball that's hit over the net, and it hits me in the face, or it hits me somewhere else. It's, again, I just, we've There's been lots of good dialogue the last month. We've tried to impress upon the governor's office that when it comes to providing this athletic-based guidance, please let us be a resource, because we work in athletics every day. We know the practical hurdles, issues, those kinds of things, and so again, we stand ready. We're willing to help and assist, and hopefully we can get this contradiction of two different EOs in 153 and 176. We can get this straightened out, and then we can all truly put our attention forward as activity ramps up here this week.
Would you say, is the conversation good, that they understand it's going to be tough to pull off playing sports with a mask on? And I don't know, again, I've never seen a photo of any athlete playing sports with a mask on. Some said Massachusetts, and I was looking, and no, they would wear them on the sidelines. So is there a blueprint for getting through youth and high school sports in America while playing mask right now?
There isn't, and you read a lot of the CDC information and the World Health Organization information, and you know they all talk about, you know, having a facial covering except those times when exercising or, you know, physical exertion. And so again, there's just a lot of, and again, I'm not blaming anybody here. It's just a matter of fact that we right now have two executive orders that conflict one another, and I'm hoping here that that the medical people will take a look at this, that there will be some common sense and some basic logic applied to this, where, you know what, when kids are on the bench or on the sideline and they've got their neck gaiter on, and when I'm not actively in the game, well, the neck gaiter goes up. As I'm sitting on that volleyball bench or I'm on the bench or the sideline in football or soccer, that my neck gaiter comes up and I've got my mask on, and now when coach sends me into the game, it gets tugged down, or if it is a mask, I, you know, kind of pull it down, what the kids now call this, you know, I'll just chin strap my mask to where it's down around my chin, and then, you know, at times of halftime or when the game ends, then it easily can go up. And I think kids can manage that. We've got a lot of young adults who have a lot more responsibility, and I think that's a fairly simple thing where we can minimize risk during those times to where they're not actively participating, but yet during those times where we are exerting, and it is you know, aerobic activity, to where, you know, that last 100 yards in a cross country race, to where I am spending everything I've got to get to that finish line, I'm not sure there's anybody that would say, well, you know what, you also need to do that with a mask on. So again, we're just hoping that by identifying the conflicts, we're going to do what we're going to be required here by law. We're going to do the right thing, and we're just hoping that here within the next few hours we can get some clarity, and everybody can just take a breath and relax, and we'll get this spelled out so we'll be able to move forward.
Have you sensed some positive vibes from the governor's office or Health and Human Services that they understand this mask thing is ambiguous and also the health risk? Would you say they understand it from your conversations with them the last few days?
Yeah, and actually that goes even back further. I felt like all of our communication with both of those offices, it's always been respectful. I've you know, felt like they've listened. They haven't always taken us up on our advice, but no, it's been very respectful, been very open both directions, and I think that's the only way we can manage in these, you know, times that are unlike anything we've ever lived through. Now isn't the time to, you know, pitch battle and you know, try and fight or trying to find as much conflict as you can. Is when issues come up, you deal with those professionally and say, hey, here's the problem, and here are the issues right now in front of us, and what's the right answer, and let's get it fixed and let's move forward, and hopefully that's where we'll end up here in the next 24 hours.
You mean normal human conversation isn't just like Twitter or Facebook?
I can tell you it's not like Twitter.
Everyone knows everything
on the day.
Yeah, everyone knows everything. I mean, to heck with just having civilized conversations. Because football, and I'm getting a ton of comments right now from football parents who are saying, how can you play football with a mouth guard and a mask? I mean, that is it, with the sweating, with everything that they're doing. How can you play a game? How can you practice in that?
Yeah. And certainly understand that, but I also know that there have been times in our semifinals the last few years where it has been the coldest day, one of the coldest days of the year, with it snowing sideways. And I've got an awful lot of kids out there on the field that have their mouthpiece in and have kind of the full head hoodie on, where you can pull it down to where it was covering the kid's mouth and their nose, and all you could see with some of those players was their eyes, where their ski mask was kind of pulled down, and they were able to find a way. So again, I hear the football thing, and yes, it has its challenges, but I don't mean to you know, say that for football it's not that big of an issue, because in football, yes, it is a very intense, you know, go as hard as you can, but it's only for 5 or 6 seconds, and there's usually a downtime and a recovery time between plays. I don't mean to come back to cross country again, but I think that is by far a bigger concern, that if you really want to talk about some of the health concerns of wearing a mask, I think we have thousands of cross country runners who, by the way, Bill, have been competing up until last week Thursday for the first 2 weeks of their season without any mask requirement whatsoever, and to my knowledge, we have had zero cross-country outbreaks. So again, you just kind of hope that we were using some of the data and some of the, you know, actual experience over 2 weeks, and like I said, before we all kind of, let's just take a deep breath, we've pointed out the issue and the contradiction here, and we'll work on getting this addressed.
Yeah, and I think soccer is right there with cross country, the constant movement. I would put, yep, I'd put soccer in cross country, and like you mentioned, you know, high school cross country running without a mask, training without a mask, and like I said, my son has been training camps, all social distance rules, you know, protocols, the daily form, checking in. You can't do it unless you do the form, and all of a sudden you're told you got to wear a mask now. I mean, just because of a order. So hopefully, I like the vibe I'm hearing from you, the tone with the governor's office, and they can work it out. I do have a couple of questions from some of the listeners in regards to spectators allowed. I think that's going to stay pretty strong on what I've read. Was it 2 spectators per student athlete? Is that correct?
That's in phase 4. So up north, those parts of the state and in your you know, listening area to where they're in region 6 and 8, those numbers are still 250 for indoor events and 500 for outdoor events. And then for most of the state, those in the other 6 regions, that while we're in phase 4, the limitations are you take the number of participants and you take that number and you multiply it by 2. So if you've got 2 teams of 40 football players, and let's say that each team has 5 coaches, so you've got 45 on one sideline, participants of coaches and players on each side, so there is 90 participants. Let's say that each team has another 10 cheerleaders, so now we're up to 110 participants total. So you take that number and you multiply it by 2, and that's your number of spectators for each side. So it is pretty simple that while we're in phase 4, the number of participants, multiply it by 2, and that's who can get in. We would love to be able to put ourselves in a position, Bill, where the whole state gets into phase 5, and then those upper limits to where if we hit phase 5 and now that limit becomes 500, now I think schools can have some real conversations about what the student section now look like, what is possibly including the marching band look like. But as long as we're in, and by the way, some schools in the UP are already talking through that to where, okay, our limit of 500, and how can we include some of these other groups. But in phase 4 right now, it's football players, it's cheerleaders, it's the coaching staff for each of those teams. That's what determines the number of spectators times 2.
And just to recap for those listening across Michigan, checking in on the huge radio network, that you hope by the end of the day today to have some clarity on whether masks need to be worn while participating in high school sports. Yes, on the sidelines or entering the facility, but you're talking with the governor's office on clarification on whether masks need to be worn while participating.
That's correct. We're trying to solve the conflict that right now exists between Executive Order 153 and Executive Order 176.
Mark, I want to applaud you and your executive council, the superintendents, the principals, the ADs, the coaches across this state. for what you have done. And this goes back to where you really fought to hold on as long as you can to save the winter championships, spring sports, and to bring back high school football is a monumental achievement by you and your team. And as a sports parent, as a high school sports parent, man, and not just the fact that we have the on-air partnership, but I applaud you because I know you've worn it on your sleeve, your heart. You're a sports dad. Your wife's a sports mom and a coach. There's a lot there that was on the line, and to push and hold on to hope for fall sports and see it come back before the holiday weekend, one of the best things I've ever seen in sports. Amazing.
Appreciate that, Bill. It's been a process, and we'll just continue to take things a day at a time.
Mark, keep us posted. If anything changes on the mask, you got my number. Drop me that text. When I see the 517 area code come up, it looks like lotto numbers. Let me know, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you.
All right, Mark Huell, executive director. If I can read tones from doing interviews for 28-plus years, my tone is he sounds pretty confident that this mask thing will get clarified and told everybody to calm down.